All right, good evening, class. According to my record, this is our fifth lesson. And today's topic of our lesson going to be, if you want to follow me in your book, is obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible. And with that statement being made, we're going to make a few statements that are going to support this greater statement. Obedience to God's will. Well, let's deal with God's will for a moment. God's will is His ways of doing things and His desire for humanity. And God's will is always in line with what He wants for us. And then the Bible says everything that God created is good. So I like to call it God's good will toward men. And so, sometimes it's a little difficult following God's will, mainly because there's an arch enemy called Satan, and his greater desire is to detour us from the will of God and do it some other way. So we're going to find out that it isn't the will of God that we follow our own way, which can be almost defined as Satan's way, because he's in direct opposition towards God and toward everything God's will for us to do. Now, I'm going to repeat this statement again. Is the greatest of God's demand on man. Listen to this close, class. Follow me in your book if you found it yet. The greatest of God's demands on man is not for him to bear the cross. And, of course, we're supposed to bear our cross. The Bible talks about bearing our cross. And we're not saying we shouldn't bear our cross, but that's not God's greatest demand. And we're going to find that out in a little bit. It said the greatest of God's demand is not for him to bear the cross. It's not for him to serve, although we're supposed to serve. It's not for him to make offering, and for sure we should make offerings unto God, give offering, make offerings unto God, or deny himself. And most certainly, we should deny ourselves. But that's not God's greatest demand. The greatest demand for him is to obey. Everybody say the word obey. You see, when we talk about obedience, we talk about submitting ourselves to the direct will and plan of God. And what's so good about submitting ourselves to God's will and plan? Because all his plans and will toward us is good. There's nothing evil about God. So all that God wants for us is good. From his plan of redemption all the way to the rapture and all the way to our position with Christ. You see, we were seated with him. We're seated with him. The book of Ephesians 1 and 3 say we have been seated with him. You see it? So there's a seated position that Christ had at the right hand of the Father. Then you say we are seated with him. Well, that's God's high calling in Christ, to be seated with him. All right? And so our scripture is in 1 Samuel. If you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel, we're going to find a very important lesson in 1 Samuel concerning an example that God gives us of an instant when God gave an order to Saul, who was king at the time, 1 Samuel 15. Saul was God's king, and being God's king, God had a right to demand some things from Saul. And in being that said, God gave Saul certain orders. And here's something we got to make note. God gave orders not directly to Saul, but through one of his prophets. And so sometimes we want to receive orders directly from God, but God sometimes, or not sometimes, but God always have a man to represent him So there has to be some submission and accountability. And God always placed a man before him, between him and us. God always put a representative between him and us, and that's to keep us under the rim of submission. Okay? Now, let's read that verse 1 and find out in this instant exactly what happened that caused God to reject Saul from being king. You know, that's how the story ends. God rejected Saul from being king, and we're going to see why, and we're going to see how to avoid the same mistake, how not to make the same mistake that King Saul made concerning God. And the thing is, it may seem like a simple thing. It may seem like something that could have been forgiven, but God is so detailed. And we as men want to bring God to our level of thinking. And it's impossible for God to lower himself to our level of thinking because his thoughts are always higher than our thoughts. Now, Samuel also said unto Saul, first verse, Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 1. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Well, if you don't know the story or don't recall the story, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, when they were coming out of Egypt, the way the journey was set up, you know, the weaker ones and the older ones were at the end, and the stronger ones were before them in case they met an enemy, that the weaker ones wouldn't have to confront the enemy. They had placed the men that were trained to fight before the children of Israel. But what happened with Amalek? Amalek ambushed the children of Israel and attacked from the rear, and attacking the women, the children, and the older people in the congregation, and therefore they became vulnerable to Amalek, and it wasn't right in the sight of God, and God never forgot what Amalek did to the children of Israel, and so God remembered it. And so back to the lesson, God said, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, he's telling this to Saul, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay. Now listen to this. You might think, why would a good God do something like this? God is a good God, but God is also a righteous judge. And because of his righteousness, everything he does is good. May not seem good in the natural, but in the spirit, these things have to be done in the spirit. And sometimes it don't seem right in the natural, but we're dealing with spirituals here. Spiritual laws that governs God governing laws are spiritual, and God deal with things from the spiritual point of view. We see things in the human point of view, but God don't regard things as we regard things. So he said, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman. Now, this might really seem cruel. See, our heavenly and holy God just does this. And both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. You see, so God always deal with things from the root. And except you deal with the root, you're going to continue having problems if you don't deal with things from the root. And God was dealing with this thing to stop Amalek at its root. And the root also deal with the very seed of Amalek. The, the men, women, the children, even infants. It may seem cruel, but God don't deal in the natural. God's a spiritual God. God is a spirit. He deals things from the spirit realm. So what may seem cruel and unrighteous to us, it's righteous judgment to God. And so we can't judge as men. You see, only God can judge. And so we just leave that as it is. You see? And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in a valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So he permitted the children of the Kenites to depart from the Amalekites so they don't be destroyed with them. You see, and that's God's grace and mercy right there. You see, Saul did that, which was right, to divide the people and not judge the whole group of people. And but God wanted to judge the Amalekite. And so they said, where am I now? So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekite from Havilah even until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekite, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people, spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, underline the best of the sheep, and the oxen, underline it, and of the fatling, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and will not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile, of no use, refused, that they destroy utterly, things they couldn't use. You see, worthless things, things that didn't profit them anything, things they didn't want, but things they wanted, they laid upon them and they kept them. That's not what God ordered at all. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And I found something out when dealing with spiritual things. You see, and sometimes men of God, leaders, apostles, prophets, even pastors and leaders have to do some things that God ordered them to do that don't feel good, that not popular among people. And they don't enjoy doing certain things. Now, Samuel, the prophet, fell into a position with God. Now God's about to give Samuel some orders that Samuel going to have to carry out towards Saul. Now, remember, Samuel had been speaking before Saul, from the beginning that he anointed Saul to be king. So Samuel had grown to be fond of Saul, had a relationship with Saul. And having a relationship with Saul, he had come to love Saul to a certain degree. You see, but when God tells you something, you got to depart. I don't care how much human love and affection you have. You got to do what God said to do. And apostle taught me something a long time ago. He said, Ronald, he said, as being the leader of the church, he said, oh, I never forgot this. Always keep yourself an arm distant from everybody. Because if you get too close to them, when it's time to correct them, it'll be a little difficult to correct them. And I've seen that happen in the past. I have to separate myself from good friends that I thought was good friends because they didn't see things the way apostles saw it. And they didn't follow the vision like an apostle had in the vision. And so I had to learn to separate myself from people. And that's one thing about leadership. Always leave yourself enough room to separate yourself and you can't get too close. That's why sometimes being leaders, I've learned it's a lonely life. You know, that's why you got to stay close to your family, because sometimes you're going to find out that's the only one you're going to be able to get close to, your family. Because even though you're in ministry, you can't be lovey-dovey with that. Yes, you got to love everybody, but you can't be lovey-dovey with everybody. But sometimes correction has to be made. And those same people you're skin and grin with, you got to go back and give them a strong rebuke sometimes from your leader, from your pastor, from your apostle. You see it? And it don't seem easy all the time, but it's necessary. And I found out that you have to learn to separate yourself. Well, Samuel had to do this to Saul. So and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Are you with me? So I found out why Samuel was grieved, because God was grieved. God was grieved because Saul didn't obey his words. God let his words fall to the ground. Never let God's words fall to the ground. You see, yeah, but that was Samuel's words. No, Samuel's words became God's words. And you have to take them as though they are God's divine words. You see it? And so he cried all night, he said. And the 12th verse said, and Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is going about and passed it on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. See, Saul thought it was a great victory what he had did. And he's going to Gilgal to celebrate himself because of his great victory. He destroyed, so he said, the Amalekites. But he brought King Agag back alive. Well, he was going to parade King Agag around, showing how great a man he was, and so the people can cheer him on and with all kind of accolades, how great Saul is, what kind of king, how he went and destroyed all the Amalekites. And then he took all the goods from the best of the sheep and the cattle and everything else that was good. You know, they kept. You see, and that wasn't part of God's instruction at all. And now Saul is being going to have to be confronted because what he did was not right before the sight of God. You see, even though in his eye, in whose eye? In his eye, what he did was he thought it was pleasing to God. As far as he's concerned, he obeyed God. Partial obedience is not obedience, you see? Yeah, he did some things, but it wasn't total obedience. You see, so sometimes you can do partly right thing. You know, your leader tell you to do some things, to carry out certain words, but you can find yourself adding some of your little twist to it and making this little slight change, thinking and not making no difference. But no, that's not the order he or she gave you at all. No, a little leaving it the whole lump, the Bible says. You make a little change, you didn't change everything. Because that's not what your leader told you. So I find out in my time in ministry that whatever my spiritual leader tell me, my apostle or Miss Carolyn at that time, you see, whatever she's instructions I get concerning the work of the ministry, I have to follow detail. I have to learn to be detailed. And so I will take my time and find the instruction, make sure I got all my instruction clear. Because sometimes they talk to you and they don't give you all the instruction. And it's not clear sometimes, but I wouldn't be satisfied until I got clear instruction because I want to always make sure I did it right. And it might seem hard sometimes, but I was questioning. And I said, you want it like this, and you want this, you do this like that, and thus and so. And I wasn't satisfied until I knew exactly what they want. Because sometimes, you know, they get busy, and sometimes, you know, they'll tell you, and sometimes they think you know what they're thinking, but sometimes you don't always know what they're thinking. And so because sometimes you don't always know what they're thinking, you're putting what you think they're thinking. You see what I'm saying? And so it might not always come out just right. And so when they're looking for the end product, they don't see what they asked for. They see a change, and it don't look like what they ordered. And they say, well, that's not what I told you at all. But you didn't take enough time to find out exactly what they wanted. You see? And sometimes I say Saul did the same thing. He didn't take time to find out why he wanted to kill all the Amalekites, why he wanted to utterly destroy them all, why he wanted to kill the infant and the baby and the suckling, why he wanted to utterly destroy the men and the women and everybody, why he didn't want to bring nobody alive and nothing alive. You see, you got to get good instruction. Make sure you get your good instruction so you can follow the plan and purpose of your leader in perfection. You see it? You see it? All right, so sometimes you think you did a good job, and because you twisted your way, and then they don't recognize it at all. I remember one time, this certain man was the editor of one of the books Apostle wrote years ago. And he called himself editing the book. He edited so much, he took Apostle right out of it, took all his, and added certain grammar. He corrected all. Apostle said he tried to go to English class. He said, but that didn't work for him. He said he's lost him his anointing. So he tried to correct Apostle so much in the grammar, making everything grammatically right, that it took his anointing out. And so he thought he did a good job, but Apostle was nowhere in the book. Yeah, there was words, but we couldn't find him. It wasn't his anointing. You see, the man who edited put his anointing on it, trying to correct it and make it perfectly right toward the people, and he wasn't in it at all. Hope you understand what I'm saying. So, when your leaders want something done, they want it just like they want it, not like you want it. And so he ended up taking credit for the book. The man who was supposed to be editing and publishing the book. Well, enough being said about that. That just was a little example. You see? So it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set himself up a place and gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal, and Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, Oh, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Seemed like it. Looked like it. But it didn't sound like it. Why? Look what's going to happen here. And Samuel said, Well, what meaneth then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They, now notice I had to underline, I think, the people earlier in the scripture reading. He said, they, the top of the people, had brought them from the Amalekites. For the people, well, what people are you talking about? Those that were with them in battle. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice them unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, I'm reading a lot to get the whole understanding of it. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night, last night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thy own sight, you depend totally upon God, because you know you couldn't do anything on your own. I'll just paraphrase that. You see it? Was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And he had brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed. See, I got proof. And utterly destroyed the Amalekite. But the people took up the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, had the Lord great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see that? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, we're going to get to understand of this statement here. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You see, sometimes we use sacrifice, certain things to God, to replace our obedience. And that was Saul did. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. You see, they said they were going to sacrifice them unto the Lord. But I find out, and we're going to find out in the lesson, that this particular sacrifice was a certain kind of sacrifice that was to make Saul look good. You see, was some type of a special offering that had nothing to do with sin. And we're going to find out that in a little bit. For rebellion is after sin of witchcraft. My goodness. So am I saying, teacher, are you saying, teacher, that this rebellious is equal to, on the same level with witchcraft? Yes, it is. It's satanic. Rebellion is satanic because it directly opposes God. And what Saul did, that Samuel was correcting him, was directly in opposition unto God, even though it seemed right in men's sight. But that's not what the world, that was not the will of God at this particular time. You see? And stubbornness is that the iniquity and idolatry. Talking about Saul's stubbornness, refusing to obey. You see it? Stubborn. I mean, you're not paying attention to what God said. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, my goodness, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now, you see, I'm willing to say, if you follow the scripture closely, from the beginning of Saul's kingship, Saul, at the beginning, as Samuel was saying, at the beginning, you know, you saw yourself small in your own eyes. But as you begin to do things, win battles, and see great things transpire because of your kingship, and you begin to grow in your kingship, you begin to think that some of these things were done by your power and your might. And you forgot that God was doing all these things. You see, and you got to be almost like you became self-made. And you became, I'm going to use this word, class, you became self-willed. In other words, you began to follow your will and instead of God's will. You got too comfortable. Oh, listen to this. You got too comfortable in your position. And you forgot to acknowledge God in some of these things. You see, you began small and you began to do these things. You began with your dependency totally on God. See, that's the difference between Saul and David. The Bible said David acknowledged God in everything. You see, and David didn't even go to battle without acknowledging God. David didn't do anything without confronting God. And that was a good mark of leadership. And that was one of the reasons why God said David was a man after his own eyes. But Saul forgot who he was representing, and almost got to the point where he thought he was representing himself. He got beside himself and became self-righteous, self-rule, self-governing. You see it? Now all these things was opposition to God's will. God will let you go. God will let you go until you think you got it all figured out. But sooner or later, God will have to expose you, not just before yourself, before all men. Oh, you see it? And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have sinned. You see it? He recognized it now after the word of the Lord came back to Samuel to give Saul. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. My goodness. He feared the people. Are we about to go get to some notes, Glad, in a little bit? And obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto God, unto Saul, I will not return to thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being the king of Israel. Now, class, I want to show you something here. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but that's a good spiritual point. In verse 35, the last verse of this 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, that I marked because I realized something when it comes to spiritual authority and when it comes to divine leadership and divine governing, you know, of God's people. That watch this 35th verse here, and I had to learn this myself, because sometimes you get too close to people, and these same people that your apostle, your pastor, your leader have to correct, and sometimes you find yourself too close to them, and then when he corrects them, it almost want to affect you to some degree. Because you've grown and had a certain love for those people, maybe the families, you connect to the family, maybe you did same thing to the family. You see, I had a friend of mine, his wife and I, his wife and my wife became friends. Matter of fact, we got to the point where we would go on vacation together. You see it? And now we go on vacation together. When our youngest child born, the husband and wife christened. Became godfather and godmother of our youngest daughter. And I'm not sure how long it was ago. My youngest daughter is 33 years old now. And so we're talking about 33 years ago this happened. And then he decided that he disagreed with the apostle in some things. And he parted ways with the apostle. Well, his parted ways, yes, it affected me. But my allegiance could not be greater to him than it was to my spiritual leader, than my apostle. So when he parted away from apostle, I had to part ways with him. I couldn't still befriend him. I still, even though my daughter, their godmother and godfather. So my daughter grew up without a grand, how would you say that? Godfather and godmother. Then she went without. But you know, God never skipped a beat. You see it? So watch this 35th verse here, and we're going to see why I say what I just said, so you can't get too fleshly attached to people in the congregation if you're a spiritual leader, because sometimes you might have to make these separations. I learned all these things. And look what he said. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, listen, you turn your Bible to the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, and look here. Look at this first verse of this 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, and I want you to underline this verse, because I had to, the Lord had to tell me the same thing, because I had a great relationship with these people. This husband and wife, their children were the same age with my children. We went on vacation, they played together as little children, because they grew up the same age. We talked about many years ago. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul? See, Saul had a great love for, Samuel had a great love for Saul. But God had separated himself from Saul. And so God said, look what God said. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? No, he said, you didn't reject him. I reject him. You see it? I rejected him. Fill thy horn with oil and go do what I told you to do. Now, go on. I got somebody else I'm going to anoint king. I'm getting past this. I'm not parking here. God said, you can park. I don't want you to park here. I don't want you to keep mourning for him either, because I rejected him, not you. So then, because that other verse, the 35 verse said, Samuel went no more into Saul's presence. My point in this is sometimes when people are separated from the ministry, we still want to keep a relationship with them. You see, but all they can do is keep pausing in your ears. I made my mind up, I'm not going to let anybody put pausing in my ears and say things that God didn't want me to say. My time is almost up, and I didn't get to my notion. Now, let's go to the notes quickly. Maybe I can get a couple points in. It's important that I get a couple points in. Now, point number one. Listen to this. Point number one. Why did Samuel say that obedience is better than sacrifice? We ask the question in the book, I'll answer it. If you find this in your book, underline this. Because even in sacrifice, there can be in the element of self-will. Saul's own will was mixed with this sacrifice. You see it? So God don't want your sacrifice, because you can mix your own will, and Saul mixed his own will with this sacrifice, and he had no intention of honoring God with this sacrifice. This sacrifice was made to honor him and to make himself look good. God, listen to this. Listen to this next statement. This one not in your book. This one is, but the one after this is not in the book. Obedience alone is absolutely honoring to God, for it alone takes God's will at its center. Obedience, see, it's not the sacrifice. It's not denying yourself. It's not taking up your cross, even though all those things are good. You know, some people say, yeah, I'm serving the Lord. Yeah, but serving the Lord is not God's first honoring choice. The best way to honor God is by obeying him. You see? Obeying God go far beyond all these things. You're serving, you're denying yourself, you're taking up your cross. You see, but obeying God is number one. So obedience alone is absolute. Nothing else is absolute, because God can do things other ways. Honoring to God, for it alone takes God's will at its center. The whole crux of the thing is taking God's will at your center. Listen to this. God wants our will to become his will. And then I got another word behind that. God wants his will to become our will. And then I got another word behind that, willfully. God wants his will to become our will willfully. We have to willfully be willing to obey God, and not with our own agenda mixed with it. See, Saul has his own agenda. Saul had it all laid out. Saul was shooting for re-election. Saul was trying to please the people, gain favor with the people, and he had disfavor with God. Oh, my goodness. I'd rather have favor with God than with the people. You see, and listen to this next statement, and I'm going to close on this one. I didn't get too far, but I hope I see enough to help us. When one walks in obedience, God's will becomes your will. Now, listen to this statement here, and I'm going to close with this statement. It's not a good statement to close with, but you're going to take further taking up with on our next class. Satan is after your will. Satan wants you to reject God's will and follow your own will. And guess what? Self-will. Satan will mix his will with your own will and become self-will. He'll disguise it. He'll camouflage it. And you think you're doing the will of God, but Satan just didn't disguise the will of God and become self-will and is dishonoring to God. For authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. Class, I'm going to close right there. My time is up. But there must be subjection for authority to be expressed. You've been a good class, and I'll see you next week. God bless you.